What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The God Show. Boop, 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 boop. And today, you guys see we're not on our same set. You guys see that we're not on the blue couch. We're on a white couch with an Empire sign behind us because we're in New York right now. And if I'm being honest with you, coming up here, there's only really like three or four people who I wanted to talk to. And this guy is at the top of the list. So I want everybody to give it up for our guest today, the legend... Wow. Jim Jones, let's go. Now, I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to tell you, you are one of my favorite figures in hip hop. And here's the ironic part, I was telling Chanel. First, so the show is called The God Show, which is an acronym for goats and underdogs. So I was thinking like first take, kind of like, let's talk about, I was thinking about top fives. So my first episode I ever did was the test episode with this guy who's like, has a popping pod. And I'm like, who's your goat? Give me your top five. And he said you was number one.
Wow.
And let me tell you what he said, though. And the reason why, when he said it, is that's why podcasts are important, because it gives people insight. What he said that I appreciated was, and this is what we're talking about, is that you are, to me, probably one of the most selfless people in hip-hop. Whether it's, I don't care if I got to be a cameraman, hype man, security man, rapper, whatever we need. For my wife want to be on TV, I'll show for that. Whatever is needed for the people around you, you always show up. And my nigga, that's not normal in our culture. And when I always like I love rap. I always think about like lines. And as I was waiting, I was like, what line do I feel like Jim gets? And it's 2 Chainz says. Sometimes I have that thought, I'm too real for this shit. Do you think you're too real for this shit, Jim?
I'm different. I'm way different than what the culture projects everybody to be. I know that. I wouldn't say I'm too real for anything. I mean, I found my way around a hell of a jungle that got no rules, no parameters. Everybody's cutthroat. There's no sincerity. And to find your way through that, you got to be very strong. I know that. I'm very strong-minded. It's a lot of distractions. A lot of people in your ear. But to be saying I'm too real for it, nah, I'm just a little bit different, I would say.
So the thing I would say about you is, and I feel like I can relate to this, like when you think the way you do, when you move the way you do, you tend to always want to make sure that everybody around you is straight. Yeah. Like, you don't understand, bro. Before you came up here, Tavia, I said it right, Tavia was like, he found me 12 years ago. I didn't know what to do, and here I am in the game. And then Chantel is there like, yeah, he does this. And I'm like, bro, like, what do you want to do? Like, it feels like you do whatever it needs to be done, but like, if you had billions of dollars and all the freedom and you could do anything in hip-hop, what would make you happy?
Oh, man. There's so many things I would love to do for the culture that definitely people have not been doing or don't take the time out to do. It's more about life and living and energy. As I got older, I learned different things. When I was younger, I was a little bit more ignorant, but I always had the same heart. I grew up in the hood, grew up in Harlem, watched a bunch of hustlers. I got a lot of lessons that I learned from them, hard lessons I learned from the street, and it's especially lessons that I learned from the culture. Especially from the hip hop game. But I always wanted to make sure that I was surrounded by people that kind of represented the same things, that like-minded people, people with the same type of goal, and you meet these people along the way. And I know that I always had opportunities and other things that people couldn't reach and stuff like that, and I always want to try to put people on. A lot of people say that I should have done a lot of things different as far as artists I dealt with or people that I helped get in certain positions, or I never asked for no vigs or no, because a lot of this stuff I just do genuinely. I do it because I wish there was somebody there that had did half of these things for me. There was nobody there to do anything for me at all. Everything that you've seen I did on my own. I could say that. And can't nobody tell you different.
So when you were, did you have a desire to be who you are today, or was it kind of like, I'm with my man, we doing this music shit, whatever y'all need me to do? And by the way, you always has, like, even when you weren't rapping, you, one thing I have to give you, you always had style. You always was like a, you always looked like a star. Like, had the long hair, you always dressed a certain way, so you always looked like a star, but it felt like you didn't really care. It was like, if y'all need me to be a star, I'll do it, you know, but I'm really here to do whatever we need to do to make sure that we win.
That was my main position when I first came in the game. I understood how, dope Cam was when we first started out. And I understood that he probably didn't know all the things that was gonna come at him from him being so dope. And I knew that there was a lot of things that I had to protect us from. So I took position to everything I had to do to make sure that his journey could be a successful journey. And I knew his cup would spill off over and run on us and things like that. I felt that in my heart. Like, I just know if I help this man become as successful as possible, that it's gonna work in our favor so we can put other people on. And that's what it did. We was able to make Diplomats. We was able to make put Jewels in position. I was able to put a bunch of artists in position. We helped people make a lot of money. We put a lot of people in a lot of positions. Everything ain't promised. Some people positions last shorter than others and things like that, but we definitely gave a lot of people a lot of opportunity. Me, myself, right now, I still give people opportunity every single day.
Bro, speaking of that, how different do you think? Actually, I want to ask you this, because I feel like, Jim, I feel like you're just one of those guys, like, I don't know how to explain it other than, like, and I feel like you will understand this, like, you have a figure in your life, a male figure who's just kind of like, I just want to make sure everybody's good, right? Like, you know, the male figures that you meet that's like, I don't want nothing from you. I just want to make sure you're good. Right? And we love those figures, by the way. But those guys don't necessarily always get everything that they deserve, unless they do something for the right person. And he's like, you know what, Jim? Man, you gave me my first pair of Jordans. I don't care what it is, man. I want you to come help me. Speaking of someone who helps people, this is why I start talking, because I'm just like, damn, I'm tired of helping people so much, and they don't, like, damn, nigga, you got the information from me. You don't want to even tell nobody, so I start talking on it. But I'm saying is that you are one of those guys that have very selfless. How different do you think it to be if you were thinking like, not saying you're not a businessman, but you understand what I mean when I say thinking like a businessman, whether it's like you got the ASAP crew, ASAP Rocky, and you helping them, but you could have easily been like, yo, y'all gonna be up under me, I'm gonna do this together. Or I heard a rumor that J. Cole was an intern for you, right? So
He wasn't an intern. One of my interns was actually managing J. Cole at the time, and J. Cole would come to my studio every day for the whole duration of me making the Pray for Rain album, and he would rap for me every day. And I was like, man, you are dead nice, but you kind of giving me Super Drake vibes. And rap was so different at the time.
Yeah.
Even though Drake was dope, we still was at a way raunchier and aggressive and gang banging shooter. It was different, and he wasn't projecting that. And I didn't really know how to sell that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a salesman, I can sell a lot, but that was like, yo, somebody already got that light skin spot and they're going crazy with it. You know what I mean? Not to say, you know what I mean? But shit, look what happened to J. Cole and shit like that. Congratulations to him. He became one of the biggest artists that we've seen in the culture. So that it goes to show. So we don't know it all.
But if you, how many people out here are signing people right now that they don't know what to do with them, but they like, this nigga gonna be something. I'm signing you. You ain't even into country rap, gospel music. I don't give a fuck. He gonna be something. You gonna sign to me. And they figure it out. But you always, it always felt like you always was like, I don't know if it's the vision. Like I always think, even when I meet artists today, I'm always like, you don't really know what's happening right now. So you wanna give me everything you got. But I know if it works, 4 years from now, if I take it, you gonna hate me and tell the whole world I'm the worst person in the world.
I mean, I understand that scenario too, but for me, a lot of the times is these bigger labels and things like that. I don't know what their gripe is against me,
yeah,
but I never got a chance to get the proper business pamphlet I needed to put the artist on in the right way.
Yeah.
So a lot of time when I meet artists or people that I can't help the way I would like to, I point them in the direction that's going to get them where they need to go.
Yeah.
I would never hate on that and shit like that. And there's a lot of people that I've helped do that, all because I didn't have the resources I need to turn exactly. you into the person I know you're going
to
be.
I know what it takes for you to do it. Yep.
Like you did. Like that was like, shit. And shout out to Cuz. Meek is my dog. I remember before he got signed, they bring him to the studio, my studio, like a month. He was in there every day, just building the building. And I was at a different place, and I didn't have the resources I needed to really put an artist like that on, and I was cool with that. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
But I asked him, like, who you got? Put it on the table. I'm going to help you out in this way. Who you got that's trying to sign you? It was like three labels, and it was Ross. I was like, go with Ross.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know what's going on, but go. I got this on footage, too, and shit. I'm like, go with Ross. That's the best thing you could do right now. Ross was on fire. I think there was, like, Bugatti boy yep. season and yep. all that type of shit. Like, they was going dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, and I don't know if he took my advice. I don't know yeah. how it go, but yeah. I know I told him that in my studio when he was looking to write to sign. So it was like those situations happened for me in all different facets of business. And if I have a way to put somebody on, I am.
Mm. Yeah, but that's what I mean when I say too real, because you could have easily said to the young intern kid that has Cole, like, you're gonna manage him, I'm gonna help you. We know how these, you know how, we know how these people are. That's the opportunity.
I could have signed Kid Cudi whole life, but I wasn't selfish like that.
That's my point. Like, and that's that right there, to me, should be celebrated more than the person that got somebody and took advantage of it, because they just took advantage of them not knowing.
I never was. I'm not a person that take advantage of anybody.
Yeah.
I take advantage of systems and take advantage of companies and take advantage of conglomerates, but I don't take advantage of people. It don't suit me. It don't make me feel good. Now, if you a twerp and you dig, yeah, I might take advantage of you. You dig, if I don't like who you are, yeah. I don't like your manner. But for the most part, I'm one of the most fairest people that you could come across in any situation. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I try to be as fair as possible. Because I know how it feels to be on that other side and you don't have nothing. And I had that happen to me while I was in the game. I had my ups, I had my downs, I had my ups, I had my downs. Nobody came, gave me shit, helped me out, nothing. This is a game where they want to see you fall so they can laugh at you. Yep. I'm not one of them people. You heard?
Yep.
I bounce back, Jack. You dig?
Yeah, I love that, man. So you do have structure now. You have a label. We are obviously in the House of Empire. You have a label deal here. Shout out to guys.
I'm one of probably the only artists at Empire that has an incubator distribution deal with Empire. So I'm able to do the same thing that Ghazi did with Empire in the beginning when he was signing artists that didn't have outlets to get distribution and things like that. So I'm able to do that. And then I have a priority list of artists, like 10, 11 artists that work with hands-on every night in here with Bobby and shit like that, curating them and helping them go out. And then I help whatever New York artists from Empire in this office on a nightly basis while I'm here, whatever they need with and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, so. And then I'm in here doing features with all the youngins. They always ask
it.
So
excited. They excited to be in the room with you.
You know what I mean? But it feels good to still be tapped in. It feels good to still be hearing my name talked about in the youngsters. The style of drip is probably more prevalent now than it was when I was putting it on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just crazy to see 20 years later from my first album, which is actually in October, in August, to On My Way to Share. So many things is coming back full circle that I wouldn't even think these kids would even be jacking half the shit that was going on when we was doing it. And it seems like they just recreating the whole shit. They just recreating the movie.
Because people talk and you start understanding who the culture vultures are. Even if they from the culture, you start understanding who the guy not to work with. But then you start saying, that guy told me something and didn't want shit in return. Damn, like that guy, he told me, you too, he told me too, bro. Like, he gave me something. He told me all these things and didn't want anything in return. And that's kind of all we want from each other. It's like, give me the information and let me decide.
You know, it's not me to take something, want something in return for something. That's not mine.
Yeah.
You heard? I'm able to help you facilitate that. That's a gift that God gave me. The gratitude in that is way more than the money you could give me. You heard? Like, that's yours. Like, if you feel to come back and do anything for me, then shit, I'm going
to
take.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
With open arms, but I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, me neither.
You dig? But I see these people and I still hug them, and it's no love lost or nothing, because I did that out of my heart. I never expected anything in return for anything that I do for anybody, unless you owe me something, unless we negotiated that, like, this is what I'm getting in return. Besides that, if I do it, I do it. Not something I ain't going to ask back for.
What do you get, like, who put this in your brain? Like, where do you get this mentality from? Like, was it your mother? Did you have people teach you? Was it a Harlem thing? Was it, like, where do you get that from? Because that's so refreshing to see someone like you who is like, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to do it like this. And also, you walked in here with one person by yourself, which to me says more about you, because it's like, you ain't did nobody dirty. I ain't worried about nobody coming behind me, putting a bullet in my head, because they got a lack of understanding of something. You always did your best to make sure you help. That's why I think it's like that.
Oh, we might look light, what Drake say, but we heavy though. We in the Big Apple, man. I mean, respect to all the gangsters in New York City, man.
So I'm going to tell you something that I said on this show. On this show, I said, if there was two people, I said, no, they asked me who should be the president of hip hop. Like, no, hear me out real quick. Let me tell you what I mean. Like the person that you know you can go to say, here's my deals look like, and they say, that's not right. Or the person you go to say, hey, man, I want to kill this nigga because he did this. And another nigga like, hey, bro, I know what you're feeling right now, but that might happen. Like, and I only said two names that I said should be the president of hip hop. Number one was Tuma, who everyone loves. And number two was you.
Wow.
How do you feel about that? Because I really feel like you should be like hip hop's leader. Like, if I was in the middle of doing some business and I was like, and they was like, Ray, we're gonna clear it with Jim, I'd be like, all right, cool. Not that it's gonna go my way, but I know it's a real nigga in the room who's gonna say, nah, but you know what I mean? Like, I know that. So you're like hip hop's authority figure. You're like the guy who's been around the OGs, who's like, y'all niggas did fuck shit. I call y'all out. Y'all know what it is.
They don't like me now for that day. That's why they never cut me no checks to put nobody on. They don't want to hear me talk about the truth at all. They don't want me exploiting a lot of the bullshit that's been going on for so many years in this business. That's why the major labels are going through all the shit they're going through now. Part of that is because I decided to go independent years ago. And after that, we had a snowball effect to right now. Artists are telling these major labels, kiss their ass or pay me. And these major labels don't have no idea or clue what to do with these artists after they have the TikTok sensation.
You are, hold on, I gotta ask a question. You just said something. Who else before you went platinum independent in hip hop before balling? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
like, platinum. I'm talking about like you, Master P and them was killing it, but they were like selling 50,000 albums and that was major. But I'm talking about platinum single.
I was selling gold albums on Koch. Shouts to Koch. Yeah. Went to independent. Everybody knows the story. Rockefeller ain't want to give me $1 million I felt I deserved. And instead of going around to these labels, felt like I was panhandling. We decided to take it on the chin and go independently. I got that from going to Houston and having a club in Houston and watching all them independent artists break the mold before they got signed to all those majors. You know what I mean? Like Slim Thug, he was getting super bank in Houston and shit like that off of the independent mixtapes. And when I came back from Houston, it was around the time that Paid in Full, Can First Albums, Diplomat Deal was next and all that. And then it was like, yo, I watched them do that. We could do that here. Went to Koch and
built the whole machine.
You made history. I'm still the only, I don't know if I'm still the only independent artist that signed, has a major publishing deal at Universal Publishing Company. But in 08, I believe, or 07, when I did that, that was unheard of. There was a major publishing company was not signing any independent artist.
Yeah, you made independence look cool. You made independence look cool And the reason why is because independent usually means broke. You know, but like you still had the nice shit, the jewels was on. You made independent.
But the difference was we already had a hell of a stamp on the street. That Diplomat dope was running like Blue Magic when they had it out. You heard? Like they couldn't do nothing with Diplomat. So it didn't matter what label we were signed to at the time. It just mattered where that bird was at. It just mattered what that music was coming out. Oh, new Diplomat record. They didn't give a fuck about where it came out. Where's it at? Is out? When is it coming out? Yeah. You know, it was a whole different marketing strategy back then. We didn't have the phones and all that. Yeah. It was real
hand-to-hand grass combat.
Grass to ass to get it, you know what I mean, to get it done and shit like that. So it was like, you know what I mean, we and Diplomats, we had the streets on fire, and our method of marketing strategy and promo to the streets was never seen before. I don't think it'll never be seen again. That's why we was able to do anything we wanted to, because we knew how powerful the bird was.
I'm like the bird. I get the eagle. I caught it. I was like, you know, I thought it was my birds. I'm like, it's my the bird. The eagle. Bird.
The stamp. Our stamp. The Diplomat bird. The Diplomat eagle.
Is it? This is just a question I have to ask you. You have a love for the process, or is it that you have a love for the people, or is it a little bit of both?
My love for the people comes before anything. But my love for the journey is way better, is way more than my love for the destination.
That's what I was trying to get. Because I'm listening to you.
The journey is everything. The journey is everything. You skip the process and get to the destination, you miss all the fun. You're just sitting at the top looking stupid. The journey is where all the fun happens at. Getting there, you know what I mean? Every day you get a little bit, turns into a lot. Every day you can break the mold, you feel that much better. Like the process of going through the things you have to go through to become who you have to be is nothing like that, you know what I mean?
And I know that. That's what I could tell. Like, because you can tell when someone's like a money grab and someone's like, I'm gonna be here until I go. And that's what I'm like, is it a system or is it the people that keeps him motivated? Because it takes
the people that keeps me alive, though. As I keep watching the new generation coming in and keep inventing so many different things that us older generation can't understand. And I hate that way that the older executives and the older people, the older artists kind of treat the younger artists because they kind of lost in the sauce. They kind of trying to condemn the younger artists for them being so dope in a time that is their time. It ain't our time no more. You should be happy that you're able to be respected by this young generation for them to give you that high five. You dig? You're going to take that away from them, and they're not going to be respecting us anymore. And that's the big separation right now between the youngsters and the old heads. And that's kind of been going like that in the hood for a minute. We came so aggressive that we just show no love to the older heads. Like, we didn't give a fuck about them because it was like they didn't give a fuck about us. They didn't teach us in the right way. And it's the same way inside of this music game. You know what I mean? Like, the older niggas just took so much advantage of the game and shit like that. And now they're trying to do the same with these artists. And because these artists are showing them that we're not going for it, now it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what we don't talk about enough in our community is growth. And what that looks like, right? Because we all grow, but we just tend to grow different places. It feels like when I think about the bird, I think about the Diplomats, I think about how powerful you guys were all together. But then at some point in time, it's like you might, like, you know, women and I want to go do this, or I want to go do that, or I want to do that. I want to ask you, like, did you? Where you guys are all at right now, obviously, like, you know, I work with Juelz. I know some of his business, but where you guys are right now, like, do you feel like if you can do it all over again, you guys will kind of like say, hey, look, by the way, in 2 years, you're going to want this, but don't forget, we got to do this. Or is it just kind of like, you know what, life happens, fuck it, that's what it is. Like, do you have a thought process towards that? With the Diplomats and how you guys like have all like come up together? And
nah, I think what we done was what we did is done.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And not in no bad way.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
it's putting us in a hell of a position to be able to still live life the way we want it. As you see,
which is more important.
Cam is doing pretty good right now. He has a show on television. Yeah. Him and his partner. Juelz is in a great space right now. He's putting out music, which I haven't seen him done in years. Nobody has seen him done in years. I'm living better than I ever have. If anybody want to ask,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
I'm not mad at all. I'm not mad at all. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grateful. I'm more grateful than any time I've had. Like, I'm in a great place in life, and I'm trying to keep my energy high, and I'm trying to stay away from all suckers and trying to still get to my bag and take care of my family. That's where I've been at. And all of that is on the back of what we built, and that turned into the Diplomats, and the Diplomats opened doors and opportunities for us. That's still opening doors for opportunities right now. For us right now. And that's something that we all got to come to grips with. It ain't no one man better than the other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we riding off the coattails of each other and the hard work that we put in to get us all here.
Do you think if everybody came back to the table and said, we want to do something, would you be like, let's do another album, or would you feel like it's done?
I would say nothing is done. I mean, business is business. This is all about what we negotiate. I'm open to everything all the time and shit like that, but I'm not here to waste my time about shit that might not happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm focused on what I got going on, and I got a lot of shit going on, and I'm happy to be involved with, happy that I see coming to life. Like, it's just, you know.
I want to tell you something just random. The first time I met you was in Rockefeller office. This is the day Jay-Z was doing the Black Album concert at the Garden. Mm-hmm. My artist, this is random, by the way, I don't think you ever knew this. My artist at the time won a contest with Rockefeller. We was in the middle of signing a deal with Jive, but he won a contest with Rockefeller. And we was like, maybe this is a sign. You know, like, we flew to New York to go to the concert, and Latrice Burnett was our point person, young Latrice.
Big dog now. Yeah,
she a big dog now. So Latrice takes us around to the Rockefeller office because that was a part of, like, the contest win. Mm-hmm. And we run into you, and we were just green as hell, happy to see you. You was like, what y'all doing, man? Oh, y'all going to the concert? Okay, I ain't gonna be there for that, man, but I hope y'all have a good damn time. And I was like, this nigga just real. Like, it was just so straight up, like, oh, man, have a good time tonight. Y'all won't see me there. Y'all know why, but I want y'all to have a good ass time, because, you know, the shit should be a nice thing. I remember just being like, I love this nigga. This nigga just is unapologetically real, but not a hater. Because people think, I don't like that shit. And it's like, oh, nigga, I ain't no hater. I'm just being real. Sometimes you can be real without hating. It's just like, that ain't for me.
It's not for me.
Might be for you.
I got my own thing. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I got, like, and that's where people get fucked up in the game, is like, that hate shit, like, nah, yeah. Everybody got their own thing and got their own thing moving and shit like that. And they see you do business with a certain person or business with a certain company, got this their own way that the shit's supposed to work and shit like that. But in reality, it's gonna work the way you want it to work as a grown man. You know what I mean? Like, shit.
I was gonna tell you, you didn't just build the bird. You didn't just build that for people to have careers off. You also was one of the first guys to start Love & Hip Hop. Was created about you.
I created it. It wasn't created about me. I created it. I named it, created it, the subject matter. It was all about Chrissy. It was Chrissy's show. She wanted to do a show. She had an opportunity. The shit didn't end up going through. I see that shit had her real upset because she was really eager to do it. And at the time, VH1, Jim Ackerman was calling my phone all the time about seeing if I would be interested in doing some type of reality show. And so I called him. I said, listen, here's what we're going to do. I want to do a show. I'm not going to be the main person in the show, but I'm going to be there to support it. It's going to be one lady. We're going to film the show about what it takes to be a lady in a relationship with an artist like myself, and how does that work in the household. And that went from, well, let's see if we can add other ladies that are in relationships with people in the hip-hop industry. And we ran it and shit like that. I was so
Did you like it?
Caught, I was cool with it. A lot of things happened that we wasn't comfortable with, so we wasn't ready to compromise our pride and shit like that. I didn't take the proper steps in the beginning because that wasn't something that was on my mind as far as the business side. I'm very creative. Shit like that happens to me all the time. I could sit here and give you a whole marketing plan that you probably run with and make $1 billion off of, which they clearly did.
I'm about to say, you know what I mean? Still around.
And it's cool, man. Shit happens in life. I can't be worried about this. I laugh at shit like that. There's gonna be other opportunities for me to do something even greater. I totally know that. Like, God has me covered. I've seen that a million times already. Nobody can tell me different.
By the way, I'm in the music business, so I always pitch people ideas. As you're talking, I have an idea. You might be doing it right now, by the way. But, like, I would love to see you and take your brand, backed by the Empire brand, and come into these markets, like come to Atlanta, like Jim Jones and Empires in Atlanta, and we doing a compilation album for Atlanta, executive produced by Jim. You got all your producers, you got Mike Will, you got Metro, whoever you got in the room making records for these hot artists that you want to fuck with, putting the music out, and then you go to Memphis, and then you go to LA. And by the way, that could be a show. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go, by the way. But, like, I would love to see you in a position where you're completely backed and you can come into these markets and show these people what you do. But, like, if I heard about that, I would be like, fuck. Damn, I wish I thought of that. I wish I had the opportunity to do something like that. But you going to L.A., and now it's Jim's in town. Now it's not Jim's in town for an album, not Jim's in town for his promo. Jim's in town because he want to fuck with the hottest niggas. Whether you got a million followers, you going to the streets, you pull up in the niggas' neighborhoods, you so loved that you pull up to the Bankhead and you like, yo, who the hottest nigga on Bankhead? Where that nigga at? Like, and they take you to him and you like, yo, go to the studio with me, you gonna make a song tonight. And then you take those records and now you are amplifying them on music. Empire's getting it, you're getting it. People are seeing you as this figure in hip hop. Oh, I don't want to say like making a band figure, but like really making the streets, like showing a nigga how the streets work, right? And how it goes.
That's a dope concept to put into a show, but that's like, that's pretty much what I do. Like,
that's what you do. That's what you do right
like
now.
They was quote unquote blackballing me in New York and hip hop. I moved to Miami for a few years, but my love for music was still there. My passion, I still had the executive know-how, so I did just that when I got to Miami, and that's why people know who a Zoe Dollaz is.
Yeah.
Or why people know who a Ball Greasy is, or if you're familiar with a YD, is because of what I went down there and did the Miami Vamps and shit like that. I put an Empire album out.
I remember
out,
the Vamps.
Whole Vamp Miami life. Vamp album out and shit like that. I got the hottest artist in Miami at the time, who I thought was the hottest artist in Miami at the time. Got them together, and these are kids from all different sides of Miami that don't like each other and shit like that, but out of the respect for what we was doing, everybody came together and made a hell of an album and shit like that. So what you're saying is it's been on target, but like you said, without backing, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, because
it's kind of hard to do these type of elaborate things that do make a lot of sense, because that make the money back and shit.
Yeah,
like, that.
Like I'm telling you, Otavi, I'm gonna hit you. Like, I might know a couple people that I could, you know, y'all probably got it, but I'm like, this that need to happen, man. Like, he's like you're so important and it's essential. And me being a father, being in hip hop, I know what it did for me, but I also know if you don't have that person in the room saying, "Hey, bro, I know you want to take the elevator up or take it down and get all you want, but let's take the stairs and get everything you're supposed
I'd
to
rather
get."
Rather take the steps. I put Come that on. I put that on one of my posts the other day. I was like, I chose to take the steps because the elevators always get stuck.
Yeah. Well, not only that, if by the time you get upstairs, if you ain't got that breath, you can't breathe up there. They're going to be like, this air's thin up here, nigga. I took the elevator. Nah, that's why you got to take them stairs, baby, because you get yourself in shape, your mind right, everything, and you can't
lose. It's the journey. It's the journey.
Yeah. The journey is the win.
Yeah.
So you have an album you're working on right now. Yeah. I'm hearing about Still On My Way to Church.
It's not Still On My Way to Church. It's called At the Church Steps. The first album was On My Way to Church. The second installment is At the Church Steps. This is my 25th anniversary. This is my first album. Like in the last 72 hours that I have to actually hand in any records for an August 23rd release. So I'm excited about that. Just to be here to say I'm able to put out a 20th year anniversary and still be relevant in the game, where I know people will take that.
And let me tell you another thing. I know we ain't never talked. By the way, this is our first time really talking. I know you don't wake up and start something unless you see the end.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Like, I'm like, I just know when everything about you is intentional. So when you're in the gym and you're working out, like, I'm like, he's gonna turn that into a vertical. Am I correct?
100%. I mean, For the most part, I try to turn everything I do in my life, I turn life to a vertical, so it seems seamless and I can still make money from it.
Yeah, you can be yourself and still, yeah.
Like, it's something that I was gonna do anyway, and like, fitness, I was gonna do that. I'm trying to live as long as possible, so I've been working on monetizing that in so many different ways and shit like that. But that goes along with everything else and shit like that. Like, when we've been put in a position to make a lot of ancillary money, a lot of people don't know how to think outside the box to make a dollar for themselves. But so I'm working on 20 different things at one time so I can make money from it. Not to mention that I have businesses that nobody even knows that I have and shit like that, because it's not advantageous for me to know, because there's a lot of hate and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, I got shit in communities that's just community businesses that run themselves. And I ain't gotta even put no nothing on it. No Instagram, no spam, no nothing on it. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you better get this money you getting right now, and you better turn that shit over. I had to learn this very late in my life. I knew how to make money for a long time, but I didn't know how to make business. When somebody told me that, a fucking bright light went on in my head. Like, nigga, that's why the money's always gone, because you only know how to make money. You gotta learn how to make business, and then the business is gonna make all the money you need to spend. And I was like, God damn. He's like, you need that.
I mean, by the way, that's where I'm at right now. You see my whole team? I'm trying to go from being a hustler to like a real businessman.
I mean, the hustle's always gonna be there, but there's certain things that we gotta turn around for ourselves to make it make sense, especially as we getting older. And it made that much sense to me. Like, damn, I know how to make a shitload of money, but that shit come just as fast as it goes, just as fast as it comes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you ain't got a plan and know how to make that shit work for yourself.
Or especially people around you who understands that y'all gonna have to help me stack our bricks together. It can't just be me making money and paying y'all. We gonna all lose eventually.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. Like, it's hard to bring something to the table when you are the table, and that's what people don't understand.
That's you real. Did. That's so real, bro.
I gotta hold all the weight. You heard? You did? All y'all gotta do is pull up.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
And add to this motherfucker, you did? Yeah. So it's that mentality I have. But you know, a lot of people don't get it, and for the life of me, we always talk about boss this and boss that, gotta boss up. But everybody's not built to be a boss, so you gotta understand that. Some people are just ready to come out here and work. And I'm with that too. And profit's a salary, you heard?
Yeah.
Salary is cool. You can live off a salary. Profit, nigga, your family can live off the profit, you heard? So you gotta think about certain things when you out here making money. You gotta think about how people evaluate life. Also, a lot of people went to school and took it as that. You know what school trains you to become a worker.
And they also, I always tell people, like, the one thing that I get paid to do is talk. What's the one thing you're not supposed to do in school? Talk. So, nigga, you already got.
But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with you going to get a job to live, because you dig. But
sure,
there's other people that get it in a different.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
From way, like, I went to school too, but I was selling cookies and shit in school. I was selling everything I knew how to sell in school. So the school I wasn't worried about school at no more. I was worried about coming and making that $500 with me and my man Zeke that we could bust in at the end of the week. And you dig, like school was a cinch to me. I did that shit 6 months early, graduated and all that shit. It was nothing. That was child's play to me and shit like that. You dig?
Oh, wow.
But the lesson I got out of it was a hell of a hustler that I became out of it. And that mentality I left from school was the same mentality I took to the streets when I went outside. Like, I could sell anything.
Yeah, if you could sell a million records, you could sell a million anything.
I could sell a vision to a camera. You heard? Like, I don't care. You did? Like, nigga, I'll sell anything, nigga.
So I'm gonna ask you. Let's just do this. What's a business that doesn't? It's not a vertical of yours right now. It's like Jim. It's so far away from you, but you like, bro. If I could get into that world, I would love to get in that world and build businesses. I know I could sell that or be a part of that. Is there any other industry that you like? I want to be in.
Well, I could be in any industry. It doesn't matter where you put me at, I'm going to succeed at. I'm a jack of all trades. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is that? I'm the master of none, but I'm better than the master of one. that's where the jack of all trade is. So it don't matter where you put me at, I'm a pop. You know what I mean? It just so happened I landed in this hip hop culture, and this hip hop culture is connected to everything in the world anyway, so I ain't got to go far. We got dentists here, we got firemen here, we got architects here, we got judges here. Like, they all part of this hip hop culture. So anything I want to do, I could dive into from the hip hop culture.
Yeah, because you just started a champagne.
Yes, we got champagne. Shouts to Jade. We got cognac. Well, that's a whole liquor company, so we got a whole foolproof plan coming through. But the Jade been on fire this summer. Got a couple of big hotels that have been taking it. I'm excited about it. As you know, I'm familiar with the liquor business from doing the scissor back in the day with Cam. We was very successful, but too young to understand and know what we had in front of us and shit like that. But I did understand the business of it. So here we are again. Everything come back full circle. You know what I mean? And when you get that chance, you better grab onto it tight and make it pop. So I feel good about this liquor venture that I'm back in. I haven't talked about it too much and shit like that.
You could tell Jim don't want no smoke with none of his haters. He hiding a smile. He like so excited. He's like, I don't even want these niggas to see me smile too big. Yeah. Like, he's happy. He's too happy. Let's go. Nah, this nigga too happy over there. Let's go hate on his ass.
I used to rub it in their face a lot. That shit was not working in my favor after a while. I did a lot of things in this game going up that I had to learn the hard way coming down and shit like that. You know what I mean? And I learned to be humble in certain situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a humble giant, that's what they say, but don't piss me off. You know what I mean? I was trying to stay cool and stay on my stride. But yeah, you know, as you get older, you try to hide the things that you got going on because you don't want nobody to spoil it for you and shit like that. So I tend to talk less and listen more.
What's your favorite era of hip hop? 80s?
The 90s. The 90s is the era that I grew up in. From 1990 to 2000, I could tell you so much about the 90s. And the 90s was a great reflection of the 80s. We learned everything from the Rock Kems and the Slick Ricks and the Juice Crews and all that type of shit. That was heavily embedded in us, KRS-One. Like, I'm a hip-hop baby, but the 90s, the era was starting to switch. And the person that made the switch for the era was actually Nas. If nobody ever understands how this shit works, Nas came in with a different aesthetic, a different rhyme pattern, a different cadence that could not be touched. And the topics that he was talking about was topics that was very dear to the younger generation that was actually living and coming in at the time. This was my high school years, and he was talking about shit that we were just loving to do. But the way that he was rhyming put a whole different speed on it. Like, he was futuristic with that shit. And from when he did that, a lot of the older rappers couldn't switched their flow, and that X'd them out, and then became a whole new generation of rap music that we hear today. From when you had the hip, the hop, to the Big Daddy Kane, and then it came to the Nas, and Nas just put a whole different spin on it, and then dope boy culture just started to twist it up in this game and shit like that. And then you had the Jay-Z's, and you had all the niggas that come out, but Nas with that, what was that, the barbecue? He changed everything with that right there.
Live at the barbecue.
He changed how hip hop was heard. Right there.
I always say to people, the most important year in hip hop was 94. Because that was the year that Illmatic dropped. That was Illmatic. Light Ready to Die came. Wu-Tang came. Outkast came. And that was also the time where if you came in 94, you would still be able to drop albums in 2024. Rather, if you came in 1991, it might have been like against you.
It was a dub.
It was exactly
that's,
like.
That's why niggas like Fat Joe is an anomaly in this game, because he standed the test of times, and he wasn't the most popular rapper in those times. You had the Big Daddy Kings and the Rock Kems, and then you had Fat Joe.
Yeah, and he was holding down the Bronx.
You would not think to know that he is as popping as he is right now from where he started to become in this game, because everybody he started with is nowhere next to him.
Nobody.
I'm talking about the game perspective, not about, you know what I mean? Like, hold nothing against anybody. It's just the way the games go. You got to know how to switch it up. And Joe was able to recreate and reinvent himself decades and decades and decades and eras and eras and eras over again. Busta Rhymes also. Got to tip my hat to Busta. He's another one that's been here since the test of time.
He has been before the 90s. Now, he came in 90 with Leaders of the New School.
Bro, Busta.
I know you and you know me.
Oh, yeah, bro. Charlie Brown and all of them. Like, this is real.
He is another one.
You know what I mean? Dress DRES in them era and all that type of shit. You heard? Like, yeah, funk rapping. Dr. Spock and all that type of shit, bro. You heard? Yes, like, come on, so bro. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And to, for them to, for him to still be here, moving and grooving, still doing big ass stadiums and ripping them shits down, it's still no performer as fire as Busta Rhymes. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, there's a few of us that get it, but hip hop twist is every now and then and shit like that. And now it's going to a whole different stage that a lot of the dudes from can't keep up to what these new generation is bringing towards the table and shit like that. You dig? The cadence is different. It's not on beat. So the older dudes is like, oh, they not even. No, they got their own thing. Yeah. Why you think that 20,000 kids inside that fucking arena is singing everything they got going on? Fuck is wrong with y'all? You heard a blind man could see that they got it popping. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like.
So I want to ask you. I just got to ask you this. Out of your. Jim Jones, give me your top five MCs if you have.
Oh, man, this it changes all the time.
No, it changed, but I want it today. I just
it changes all the time.
It might change next week, but like if you had to say it right now,
Rakim, Tupac, Jay-Z, Drake.
Rakim, Tupac, that jump to Drake. That shows you that's.
They can't front on Drake, bro.
No, I'm just saying, but the jump from Tupac, Rakim, Jay, Drake. That's
okay, hard. Let's take Drake's run. Jay's run has always been his run been over for not to say in a bad way. Sure. Like he just stopped. He phased himself out with the money and shit like that. So he won. But his run, Drake had the same type of run, if not more phenomenal than Dre in this present era.
He did.
We've never seen nothing like that happen. Like he ran circles around the success that Jay had during that era. But at that era, when Jay had that success, it was like the success that we've seen of Drake right now. I hope people understand what I'm talking about.
I do.
I'm not playing nobody here. I'm just showing you how the game's been moving and shit
his,
like that.
His run is probably the most longest unmatched run in hip-hop history, Drake's is. Yes. We're talking about Jay came and went when he wanted to. Like Jay, he was like, he retired every fucking album. Like,
damn
Black
near.
Album is my last album. Okay, damn I'm gonna give y'all come. I'm gonna give y'all Kingdom Come, but that's it. And then American Gangster. Okay, I'm gonna do something for Denzel, but it was always like we felt blessed to have him.
100%.
Drake's run was he's here. He ain't going nowhere
at all. At the highest capacity you can move.
Yeah.
You heard?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like. You never seen, think about it, bro. You never seen nobody had three or four records on the radio at the same time for the last 15 years.
Every fucking month.
In every country. And you dig? Like
in every genre.
You heard?
Music.
You could go to every country and be like, Drake. They're going to be like, who? Drake, where he at? It don't matter what. Chinese, African, Antarctica. Don't matter. You say Drake.
Yeah.
You dig? Same with like Jay-Z. Like, you dig? Like, it's only a few people that name sticks like McDonald's.
This nigga said McDonald's, boy. That nigga said a fact. But you only gave us four. Waiting for the fifth one. Like, I want to hear the fifth one.
The fifth one. Damn. The fifth one. It might not be a fifth one.
I was about to say, you know what I was going to tell you, Jim?
The fifth might be everybody that I like. You dig? Because I like so many people that music does something to me. It's very therapeutic and shit like that. So it's a compile of people that I really adore when it comes to rap music and shit like that. But if those four that I said are pretty solid, I pretty much circulate those every time people ask me that question.
I was about to say, my top three, four has never changed. It's Big, Pac, Hov, and fuck, I just forgot the fourth. Oh, Ye. Those are my four that I have.
Ye's decent. That's a good one.
I have it. Those are my four. Ye's
a good
one. Fifth one.
Niggas
that I'm
can't front on Ye.
I might say Kiss. I might say Kendrick. I might say Drake. It's that fifth one. That's why I understand where you're coming from. That fifth one is like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, like it's like a lot. Like you dig, but the four I said is and people probably like, why you ain't see Big. Big, we kind of got cheated out of everything. Big, we didn't get to see his potential. And then they say, well, I said Pac. Well, Pac made 4 million records that was coming out 10 years later. So we can do that.
Imagine.
You did, like, he left he left enough work for us to be able to critique him and be like, nah, he's definitely got to go there. You dig? Big wasn't able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't get a chance to really show out, but he was one of the illest niggas ever in New York City when it came to rap and shit like that in the game. Like, what we got for him could not be duplicated. We know that. Style, Fat Boy was going off, lyrics,
the voice,
gangster.
Way he played with music, he could talk to the chicks.
The way he talked to the ladies, yeah, like, nah, his shit was there. So we got cheated out.
Yeah, I agree.
Big time cheated out of a superstar that probably would have been still rocking today.
I want to talk about Harlem. By the way, I love Harlem. My family's from Harlem. My father's family's from Harlem. Give me your Mount Rushmore of Harlem. But I'm being honest with you. You're in it, but I don't want you to put yourself in it, because to me, it's like when I think about Harlem, I think about my Mount Rushmore is you, Dame. I should say Puffer. They say from Mount Vernon. So I'm like,
are you talking about like people?
I'm
period.
People, like,
not just rap, not just rapping, just people Harlem. From Harlem.
Too many, Jim. You know, it's too many.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people in Harlem that grow up to put around.
Because Harlem has made so many contributions to the culture.
More the well, for hustlers, I would definitely put Rich Porter if there was a slot for hustlers.
No, because, that's good. No, it's your Mount Rushmore.
Because he made it. He was the poster boy for hustlers around the world. Damn, this is the 90s. Like, you heard his name ring bells. They made movies about the lifestyle and shit like that. And don't get it twisted. He may not have been the richest hustler in Harlem, but he was that nigga. When you that nigga, you that nigga. Motion out. Motion is worth more than money at that point. You heard? Like, you dig? Like, you got it, Jack. You dig? Like, so it was like, that's what he represented for us and shit like that. We grew up wanting to be just like Porter. We wanted to have the cars, we wanted to have the girls, we wanted the jewelry, we wanted the new sneakers every day. Like, he set the Harlem precedent, the blueprint, and the uniform was damn near all his from what we could see when we was coming up, because that's all we heard.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of niggas around at that time that we could name and shit like that, but he stuck out, especially to our generation and shit like that. So that would be, I would say, I would put him there. I would put Cam in there,
for 100%.
Sure. You dig?
When I think, for sure, when I think of Harlem, I think of you, y'all. The Dipset is Harlem to me more than anybody in the world.
I definitely would say that we put on for Harlem, and I watch him from the bottom do a lot of good things and shit like that, no matter what our differences may go through and shit like that. And I seen what he did. Like, he definitely put on, he lifted it up. He represent Harlem everywhere we ever went in this world. Yeah, I definitely put Cam in there. And I'm saying Cam. Like,
no,
you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Joel's and all that. Joel's our baby and shit like that. But you know what I mean? He comes from under that umbrella.
I got you.
So I would say Cam. You know what I mean? He took that.
So
he
Cam,
took that step for us. You know
Rich
what I mean?
Porter, you got two more.
Two more.
Harlem.
Two more people from Harlem. That's hard.
You got the ASAP crew. You got
the ASAP crew is a younger crew, so it's hard to kind of put somebody like ASAP Rocky on the Mount Rushmore of Harlem of people. Now we doing the Mount Rushmore of Harlem of music or rappers and shit like that. That's a whole different four.
Yeah, that's and the reason I'm asking you about Harlem and people is because, like, I want to know who these legends are. Like, people should know, like, who these legends are. Even if
but there's
look
so
up,
many,
look
there's so
up.
Many, just so many legends in Harlem, man. Like that we could talk about. Harlem was a place filled up with getting money, a bunch of getting money niggas, man. A bunch of my closest friends, some here, some not here, some gone. We're getting money. I'm talking about real money, $50,000-$60,000 a day, blocks making millions of dollars a year. I'm just like, this is a bunch of people like that in Harlem.
You know?
But there was a bunch of people that stood out in the midst of all of that, and that you correct that, you know what I mean? Like, that's such and such. Harlem is a dog of a place when it comes to getting a bag. That's like cocaine capital for five boroughs at one time and shit like that. So there's a lot of moving parts and shit like that. You know what I mean? Now you got to think about some dope ass Dominican niggas that's part of Harlem. Like, so you got to think. I got to think real long
you
and hard. Like God
you know
damn, like
business,
you heard?
Everybody.
Like this shit is deep. There's a lot of people that stand out, and then it's like, damn, maybe I don't want to say a certain name right now. I don't know how niggas is living and shit like that. You dig? So it's like me being me and shit like that. Like, damn, it's like, you dig? Like, Harlem got a lot of ghosts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That we could talk about while we outside in the street on the corner drinking champagne, but I don't know if I want to do that and get that call. Like, bro, don't be saying my name on these interviews, nigga. What's wrong with you, man? Like, the Vons, like Von Zip, God bless. Like, he was a big figure in Harlem. We could talk about. He's not here anymore and shit like that. But he is one of them big dope boy niggas from Harlem doing this since the 70s and shit like that. That people know had clubs, all type of shit in Harlem. Like, there's a bunch of people. But right now, the two names that I know I can't say is Rich Porter and I would say Cam. You know what I mean? And I think about a couple others as we move on. And shit like that, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of special people in Harlem and shit like that.
I want to ask you, we was having an argument on this show one day. We like to argue here. We was arguing over best dressed rappers.
Oh shit.
It was Blue on the show. We was arguing about it, and I was saying Juelz. We were saying Harlem niggas dress best, but I was a Bronx nigga like, what, Fat Joe, the best dressed nigga, the best dressed nigga out of New York. And I'm like, I want to, because you are one of the freshest niggas in New York history. So I feel like you have more ability to talk about who you think are the best dressed. Who are your five best dressed rappers in hip hop? You can go to New York, you can go anywhere. I just want to know, who are your five best dressed guys?
Of all times or just like
you,
right
it's
now?
It's you. All time. It's whatever you say. Like, them niggas is a killer.
Well, during his era, Nas was one of the flyest niggas ever. Flyest nigga ever. Helly Hansen, Jungle Hats, army suits, all type of shit, new sneakers,
yep.
Hopping out of, like, Nas was, we was watching the videos trying to get the shirts he had on, the rugby shirts, all that shit Nas put on. And he had the new Helly Hansen's niggas ain't having shit like that. Like, he was super futuristic. This is high school, we just had to have it. Like, I've been waiting to talk about how fresh Nas was back in the day. Dumb fly. Word, for New York, Nas was cutting edge, like that nigga had the dope boy shit to of T.
Yes.
Like, I had to just say that. Word up. Before that, Rakim, I would go with Rakim. He was a dog. He was a dog. I was a fiend before I became a teen.
Yep. Rakim was the one.
Nah, he had the uniform.
Yeah.
Superman uniform.
By the way, you can wear that uniform.
Velour Dapper Dan. You can wear that shit right now.
Any era.
That Velour Dapper Dan suit with the Nike, puffy Nike shit and all that, with the big rope chains and shit like that. Right now with the Air Force Ones.
What?
You chill. You nigga catch a heart attack. You pop up like that right now. Like, oh, nah, he's wilding. He's wilding on the cover. Rakim was a dog when it came to getting fly.
Three more. Rakim was that nigga, by the way. Still is.
Right now, up to speed?
Whatever you want to go.
Who right now go crazy? Fab is like me, man. We not gonna be like Fab is like Fab. Come on, that's like a cheat code. Like, you say Fab, like Fab. Fab is like, nigga, you know, you like, you dig, yeah. Like, we can put like, he's always there, yeah, and shit like that. Yeah, like that nigga, his fly is so crazy, bro. Like, I went on vacation with him, so well. I didn't know if I bring enough outfits or nothing. Like, bro, bro, what is going on? You got the scuba diver outfit, then you got the by the pool outfit, then you got the dinner outfit. And he got the beach outfit on tuck in case it get crazy. And he got the yacht outfit, but he got the accessories too. So if he got the yacht outfit, he got the yacht master. You heard, with the boat shoes. Like, this nigga is next level of going wild with this fly shit. So you heard?
I know we gotta add Fab to the list. That has to be, Fab is a fresh nigga, bro.
Fab is super obnoxious with this fresh shit. Like, word to mother. Like, this crazy. R.I.P. My man Dolph used to go wild with the drip.
Dolph
niggas just say what they want. That nigga was coming through, stepping on shit,
yep,
badly.
Yep.
You heard?
Yep.
First nigga I really seen doing $60,000-$70,000 outfits on the regular. Might have a $30,000 Gucci jacket. Like, that nigga was different, bro. Shout out to Dolph, bro. Like, Dolph was a dog. Like,
a few days ago, man.
I had to get that honorable mention. For that sure. Nigga used to go crazy.
One more.
Who I be seeing be going crazy right now? I like Lil Baby. Lil Baby, yeah, be going dumb out here.
Yeah, Baby can dress.
Because he might have a Lamborghini matching the Dior outfit and shit like that. Like, yeah, he go wild. You dig? Like, he definitely go off. And you know, I'm judging people from shit that I would wear.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, exactly.
Like, there's a lot of fly niggas, you know what I mean? Like, the Future's a fly nigga. 2 Chainz is a fly nigga. Like, but they wear a lot of shit that I would not wear.
You could pull off, yeah.
You heard? Like, it's not my type of thing.
They got the frame. They tall, slim, dress.
It's a lot. You know what I mean? Like dressing is going a lot of different ways, and then fashion is in the eye of the beholder. But my difference between fashion is y'all do fashion, I do splashing.
You heard? Look, New York. New York is in the business. Like you fucking right.
Yeah, like.
I'm gonna tell you two honorable mentions. Fat Joe.
Now, Fat Joe gets stupid fly.
I don't know what he did in the last five or six years.
Nah, he gets stupid fly.
But that nigga, his stylist has been killing.
100%.
And Tip definitely put some time and energy. When he rocked them coats and when he wants to get dressed, like Tip really could put that
Tip's
shit
got a real sophisticated type
real
of drip.
Yeah, real sophisticated look. Kind of like young Jay-Z.
You know what I mean?
But I wouldn't wear the shit, but
Fat Joe go crazy, though. I can't say that. Like, he go dumb. He go Bottega to the socks and shit like that.
I got this game I want to play. Just a couple more minutes. It's a game I like to play, and I'm going to play it with you, but we're not going to do the 20. Like, the way the game goes, I give you three options. We usually do it at our office. It's a Cash App thing. If you don't want to answer, instead of drinking or smoking, we say donate $20. But we're not going to do that because we ain't got the thing here. But I want to ask you anyway because you are like, to me, you're like the hip-hop historian that actually lived it too. Like, it's really crazy. So I give you three options. You got to pick one to sign. You got to pick one to say I'm going to develop. And then you got to pick one to cut. And you got to actually say you're going to cut it. So I'm gonna give you three options. Three first albums.
Uh-huh.
Reasonable Doubt, Illmatic, Get Rich or Die Trying. Three debut albums.
And what I gotta do, pick one?
You got one you sign, one you develop, one you drop. Or what we say, you donate $20 to the kids, but the kids ain't here today. It's like usually got the kids.
So Jay-Z, Nas.
Three greats, debut album.
Three greats, Jay. I got to sign one.
Yep.
I got to
develop one. Yep. This is all in Jim Jones' business. This is Jim Jones' portfolio.
And I got to drop one.
You got to cut one. And whatever one you cut, you got to say I'm cutting it. And we usually like to get a why, but if you don't want to give a why, you can just
like cut like yes. They out of here.
Yep.
All right. I would. Hold on. I would sign 50 Cent.
Okay.
I would develop Jay-Z, and I would cut Nas.
Okay. Why? I gotta hear this. Why? I feel like I know why, but I wanna.
I'm just going on what I know from them.
Gotcha.
For what I've seen from them. Mm. So 50 Cent being the most dominant out of all of them when it came to record sales in the space.
Got you. He sold 10 million off first album.
You heard? And he had his act together. He was willing to play ball with the culture. Like, he fed into it. He did the things he needed to do. Jay was a little standoffish. He was the ball. He had his little thing. I'm a hustler. I need to do this shit in my hobby and shit like that. So I feel like I would have developed him a little bit more to play a little bit more into the culture before I signed him. This is just me seeing.
It was very high fashion. It was like if you didn't understand that level of money or didn't want to get it, it was.
But
over
it still
your
was.
Head.
It still was different because he didn't play ball ball the regular way that you would want artists to play ball. He wasn't accessible as other artists that you dig. Like, it was a little bit of a different place. Yeah. So for me, being the person I am, thinking about how I would probably develop him a little bit more, maybe in the direction he's going, but make it a little. You understand what I'm saying?
Nah,
and
got
then,
you.
From what we've seen from Nas was the most, I would say, less developed when it comes to music, but the rest of his movement and the way he moved and what I've seen and how he's perceived on camera was not as big as Jay and 50 was. He didn't have what they had at the time. I don't know if that reflected on his work ethic at the time or whatever, but at that time, Nas had a great moment and it was very fast.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You heard?
So I thought you was gonna go, I will cut Illmatic because it's perfect. And I don't even think I could.
But see now you got me cut different. Like, are you talking me cut like drop them or cut like to put out? Like, you
no,
got
no,
me
no,
fucked
no,
up.
No. Cut means dropping.
Dropping for the stores.
Like, like send them home.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right, good. Yeah, like I would have, like, in that situation, and Illmatic was a hell of an album.
That's what I asked.
But I'm going on what I've seen from what I've watched everybody's career doing shit like that. And I'm saying that if I knew that if I was a fucking psychic and I knew that and I had all these people in front of me and I knew what was going to happen for their career in the next 25 years, that's how I would pick it and shit like that. You know what I mean?
So I love that. I got a couple more. We need two more.
Nas, don't be mad at me, bro. I'm done.
You just gave him the biggest up I'm done, bro.
You dig? But I'm done, bro. But you are you were absolutely one of my favorite artists. You could ask any one of the niggas that I grew up with. I just got into the game like Iverson, and when Iverson got in the game, he had to give it to Jordan like he would give it to his mama if he was on that court. So, you know what I mean? That was my mentality when I came into it. But that never took away from me liking none of the music that Nas put out and none of that type of shit.
I got two more, but I'm gonna give you one. One is, we're gonna go New York anthems. We're gonna go Welcome to New York City. We're gonna go Empire State of Mind, Alicia Keys and Hov, and then we're gonna go Back on my, what's it called? My New York shit. Back on my New York shit. The record with, Swiss. Yeah, Swiss did it with, Busta was on it, Fat Joe. Oh, yeah,
it was a bunch of people. I'm on my New York shit.
Yeah.
I'm on my New York shit.
New York anthems. Which one you cutting? Which one you signing? And which one you gonna develop?
And that's what the Jay-Z and Alicia Keys?
Empire State of Mind, you are a New Yorker to the day.
All right.
I want you to give me the New York anthem. Which one is the one?
And what's the second one?
Welcome to New York City, Empire State of Mind, and New York. Busta Rhymes. It was Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes, my New York shit. Yep, Busta Rhymes.
With the Welcome to New York City that Cam did?
Yeah. Welcome to New York City. And then you got Hov from New York. And then you also got Back on My New
York. I'm definitely
York
signing
shit.
A Hov and Alicia Keys.
That shit went number top. One. That shit went
off
number
top.
One.
Off top. And because it got Hov on it, I would develop the shit that him and Cam did.
Mm.
And then I would have to cut the Swiss joint in that sequence if that was the way it had to go. That would make it more, if it for business for me, that would how I would do it.
All right.
Now here we go. This is gonna cause a problem.
No, it's good. It's good. All right, I'm gonna do, see, I know, Jack is sending me, he's feeding me these things. I'm gonna make it easy, all right? He's feeding me these things, he got it. All right, cool. Koch, last one, this is easy. Koch, Empire, Def Jam.
I would sign to Def Jam, I would develop Empire, and I would cut Koch.
Okay. I love this thing. I just love it. And don't say nothing. Okay, next one. Okay, so, by the way, let's clap the clap. That was fun. I ain't gonna lie. Nobody play like you. Like, you should shoot. It's like, most people like, I wanna, because you know this, but you like, mm-mm. Nah, I'm dropping that. So we have this segment we call Credit Check, right? We hate, on the God Show, we hate when people give flowers. Like, give that man his flowers. Flowers is associated with death.
Yeah,
give me my credit.
Rosé champagne or Rolls Royce. Those are the type of flowers I like. Those are the type of roses I need. That's the only roses you could give me. Other than that, you can keep your flowers, nigga.
So we have a segment called Credit Check, where we give people like yourself a chance to shout out two or three people, unsung heroes in the Jim Jones career that you just feel like deserves a shout.
Unsung heroes?
Unsung heroes. Like people in Jim Jones' career. They might not get the credit they deserve. That's the open Look, listen, Chantel did like this. Chantel did like this. I see that she leaned all the way over like, you don't see me over here? I love it. That's gangster.
No, he gave me like, my credit at his birthday.
And like what capacity, though?
Yeah, but it's just in your capacity. It's just like you might want to say this person because they did this. And you know what? It's whatever capacity you want, but just two or three names that you just want to shout out that deserve credit in the Jim Jones story.
I'm petty.
I love it.
Her name starts with a Y. She used to work with me a long time ago.
You Rick, heard? Rick, you just jumped on. What you told Rick?
I just like you dig, but her name starts with a Y. She used to work with me. She definitely got on board with Jim Jones before Jim Jones got a chance to do anything. She was down the mob. She was a dog at the time when it came to Jim Jones. She did everything possible that I needed done. And we went into rooms together and came out victorious in a lot of situations. But for the beginning of my career and shit like that, she definitely put on. So I if we being honest, and that's one thing I always gotta be and shit like that.
I love that.
Ask the question. In that capacity, yeah, she definitely put
Can
on.
Can I say her name? Can I guess? Okay, cool. I won't guess. Let's go. won't do it. It's I'm you interviewing I mean? You. Let's go.
My lady.
Let's clap for his lady. Can never go wrong when you're thinking woman. Never go wrong.
that's the real unsung hero out of everybody. Because it's not just about business. You know what I mean? She got to come home and deal with everything I dealt with in the street. The family attributes that comes with that. Like, it's just a lot when you're a woman in a relationship with someone like myself.
She got to share you with the world.
And she got to share me with the world. You know what I mean? And that's one of the biggest things that I always seem to forget. Like, she got to share me with the world. Besides everything else she got to do for me, on top of holding me down, on top of making sure that I'm good, on top of having to deal with everything that comes with us. Like, so when it comes to unsung heroes that we being, she's definitely a hero. She's like superwoman and shit like that. You know what I mean? She always comes in when I needed the most. When I was down the most, none of these niggas pulled up. She pulled up.
Realest nigga in your life.
Realest nigga in my life.
It's mine. I love that.
You know what I mean?
Your lady ain't the realest nigga in your
There's
life.
There's a lot of ladies like in my life. Like, my mom's is an unsung hero. Like,
ladies, mom. These ladies. Clap for your mom. By the way, I love your mom, bro. I love your mom, bro. Like, I love everything about it. Like, when I was watching Love & Hip Hop, it was for her. Because she's a New York mom. And my mom's a New York mom. And they special.
100%.
Okay? If you know New York moms, they're special.
Now I think about it. There's a lot of ladies in my life that's unsung heroes. Like, they move like dudes move. Like, if you see Chanel, you see Tavia. Like, there's a lot of people that the real unsung heroes, the people that put on for me, the close-knit community of people that I depend on every day that deals with my shit no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people that I consider to be superheroes to me. You know what I mean? Because it ain't an easy job. Deal with me above anything. What I mean?
You're like, a superhero to the world, and they got to accept you playing your role to the world, but still got to, it's a hard life, man. Like, they might be thinking that just you got all the things you want, but I don't have that person to myself. Anytime we go out, somebody wants to take a picture. Everywhere we go, someone has to be. It's like, damn, like, they put up with some real shit out here, bro.
Yeah, we do.
So this is the last question of the day. This is the God Show, and this is called The God stands for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog, what do you personally want to accomplish to refer to yourself as a goat?
I think a dog could be the goat in a fight. What you think?
This nigga is
my pit bull would be the goat in the fight?
Hell
I think if I bring my grace and my pit bull to a goat, and who you think will win that fight?
The pit. Nobody's ever said that, by the way. We asked everybody that question. No one's ever said that.
So I always like being a dog.
Well, I just want to tell you this, brother. We don't interview people who we don't consider the GOAT. Like, my nigga, like, I'm a fan of you. Like, as a fuck music, as a man, as what you represent, like, I'm a fan of you so much that your respect matters to me, and we've never talked before. Like, that's how much I respect you and admire you as a man and what you've done in your life and how you still remain the same nigga. And I feel like I'm that nigga. But I'm still like, yo, that nigga from day one.
Bro, I know way more about you than you probably would think and shit like that. Like, we may not have a conversation, but we have people that we both know. We have mutual friends and shit like that we both know. I've been watching your moves in this game for years. I watched when you started the podcast and shit like that. Seen you in Atlanta a bunch of times. I know all the bunch of stuff you do for the people out there. Shouts to my man Chubby. Chubby always talk highly about you. So don't think that what you're doing goes unnoticed to a person like me, because I'm fully in tune, my brother.
You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Like, I know
you've helped a lot of people also, my brother.
You did, and I know you never talked about it
because I've speak to people that you have helped, and they like, nah, the nigga solid.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So I respect people like you also, my
brother. I want you to know we are here to celebrate you as you being a GOAT. So my team, we going to do what we do. Yeah. But we in a room with a motherfucking GOAT. Nigga, you are crowned. You are that. That is the end. And you gave the best answer in history. Like, you think my pit bull? Yes, nigga. The GOAT was like, I'm going home now. Like, GOAT was like, bad. So, man, I just want to tell you, man, thank you for doing the show. Chanel, thank you. Tavia, thank you. Thank y'all for putting Empire. Thank you. But, man, just thank you for being Jim fucking Jones. Thank you for being the guy who didn't allow this game and the options that we have in front of us to change him. Like, how many people you seen start one way and the opportunity comes and they become a different person? My nigga, you the same nigga that I used to see when I was passing out flyers walking in the club. Same nigga, same real nigga. You spoke to me when I was nobody. You speak to me now, my nigga. That shit matters to niggas.
If you let money rule you, then you also let money fool you. Remember I told you that. That's a mantra to live by. You heard?
Money don't rule none of us in here. I hope not. So, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carry, Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. Shout out to Lareko. But more importantly, shout out to Jim Jones for taking his time out of his day, living his awesome life to come give us a couple of minutes to really talk about culture and everything. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate that, my nigga. I've been a fan of yours. Chanel, Tavi, I'm telling y'all, anything y'all ever need for him, y'all in Atlanta, you want to work, some, my studio. We're going to do some things.
I've been waiting to have a conversation
with
you.
I got you. I want to support you, bro, because you that nigga to me.
And we got to do some things, man.
And we are out. Let's go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.